What's up, podcast listeners? It's Nate Russell. I'm here to tell you about another podcast on this UCB Comedy Podcast Network, my show, the UCB Digital Podcast. I bring on writers, directors, editors, actors, producers, and get the inside scoop on what's happening in the world of comedy filmmaking. It's like a fancy Hollywood networking party, but instead of having to actually socialize, you just sit back and put your headphones on. There's new episodes every single Tuesday on iTunes, Stitcher, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Hello and welcome to the Comedians of Wrestling podcast, the podcast where comedians dissect wrestling to an unhealthy degree. We are back, baby. I'm your host, the host with the most, Dan Black, a.k.a. Donnie Kayfabe, Donski Blackamora, the modern-day Goof Haraja, coming at you live in studio on a weekend where WWE gave me my Sunday. I had my Sunday. I had a nice free Sunday, and then I got to watch wrestling on Monday, which was cool. Anyway, look, as always, I'm joined by a bunch of jabronis. Remember, give this podcast 5 stars. We deserve it. This is a 5-star podcast. I don't have to keep saying that. Tell your friends who like wrestling about this podcast. Tell them to listen in. They're going to love it. We're having fun. We're doing it here now. Anyway, returning to the podcast with a different aura, completely different vibe, back from Burning Man, is the artist formerly known as Nasty Newman.
Yes, I was at Burning Man for 10 days.
Yeah, man.
I've been transformed in the fires of the Burning Man, and this is New Age Newman you're talking to. Namaste.
Wait, you're...
Namaste. I realize.
Are you one of the biggest jerks I know saying namaste?
Look, if I've come across as a jerk in the past, it was because I was operating out of a place of fear, like a lot of our listeners are.
Well, you have tattoos, right? So you're emo. Mm. That's your whole thing. You're like an emo guy.
I may have, if I present myself as emo to you, that may be me sort of projecting some like self-preservation of my ego. And I'm working on breaking that down so that I can recognize the divine within. Namaste.
Is this a gimmick? Is this a work?
Oh no, this is how I am now. I realized.
Well,
that,
you do want to maybe apologize for your behavior over the past summer. Summer.
I would love to, and I want to thank you for providing me the space to do so. Yeah.
Sounds like you're not saying sorry. Sounds like you're dancing around it. Saying that I offered you the space. You commandeered my podcast when I was on my honeymoon in July.
That's true.
You came on. You called the podcast the Newman World Order. You That's made true. It turn into the old NWO. Talked about how I'm a bad host and how I don't cover enough NXT. And NXT is the only wrestling. Mm-hmm. And now you're sitting here. You're calm as a, I don't know, pencil. And pencils are calm. They are. They worked up.
They don't move.
And now you won't even say directly, look in my eyes and say, I'm sorry for the way I acted.
Look, I think that...
You see, you're already not saying it.
I think that...
I mean, I feel like this is Dan's fault for going on a honeymoon.
All right. Well, you know what? We're going to get back to you.
Sure.
I'd like to introduce our guest. Returning guest to the show, hilarious dude, Joey Clift.
Yeah, that's right. I'm Joey Clift. I think professional wrestling is real. I'm the general of the nation of Marka Nation.
Yeah, you're you call yourself that. You call yourself the. I noticed that that you call yourself the head of the nation of Marka Nation.
That's right.
Right. I mean,
yeah. That's what my title is.
Oh, all right. Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, that's cool.
That's a powerful place to be, and I respect that.
Oh, thanks, Alex. I like this guy.
Okay, guys, look, let's talk about wrestling. Newman, I mean, you went to Burning Man. Mm-hmm. What about wrestling? Did you watch it there?
No, I didn't. I wasn't able to watch wrestling.
That's ridiculous.
I was able to wrestle, though. I did perform in a Lucha Libre match at a camp in Burning Man.
What?
Yeah, this is a true story. I went out. One of the nights that I went out, I wore my Lucha mask. I have a Sin Cara mask that I wear.
Wait, Sin Cara?
Sin Cara. Yeah.
Without face.
Yeah, without a faceless, yeah. And I was at a camp called Miso Horny, where they give you miso soup. That's like their thing.
Okay, and, I don't like that.
There's a guy there. He saw me, and he's like, I'm running the Lucha show tomorrow night. Come back, perform. So I did. I had a Lucha Libre match at Burning Man.
Wait, did you have like a move? Did you do wrestling maneuvers?
Yeah, I did lose. I did immediately. But I did work. I worked the crowd. I got them to boo me. And then when I lost, they were happy because I was a jerk. And that's when I realized that I've been operating out of a place of fear this entire time.
Wait, so question. Mm-hmm. There's professional wrestling outside of WWE?
Well, it's not necessarily professional. So okay. It's sort of like, it's just, you know, it's fans like us who are trying to put on this spectacle, but it is by no means a sanctioned as professional as WWE.
You got to understand, Joey Clift is a full-on mark. Mm-hmm. He only thinks the only product.
Right.
He thinks the only wrestling that goes on is WWE.
I mean, the only wrestling that goes on is WWE.
Okay. See, this is like a kid if it's, you know, the Santa Claus is real situation.
Oh, right. Okay.
What are your views on Santa?
I mean, he's real, right?
Yeah, he is real. You know what? He is real.
Oh, hey, that's good.
Joey, why don't you tell everyone about the book that you wrote?
Okay, so I didn't write this book. The authors of Pain wrote this book.
Oh, right. The book that you sponsored.
Yeah.
So, you're the sponsor, right? The publisher.
Let's figure out how we dance around the character logic of this.
Yeah.
Okay, so I thought it was really funny that there was a tag team called The Authors of Pain, and they haven't written a book called Pain. So I got a bunch of my comedian friends together, and we reached out to the authors of Pain, and they're all really good writers. You can just tell by looking at them. Yeah. They definitely like know their way around mm-hmm. a pen.
Yeah.
And we worked together with them, and we like helped develop this book for them. And it's available on Amazon Kindle for 99 cents. You can find it for free on supercolliderpress.com.
Ooh, I like that.
And And then just an announcement for this show. Now it's available on paperback for $3.99. So that's pretty exciting.
That's a reasonable price.
Yeah, that's like
so
that's
the authors of Pain. They wrote it.
Yeah, the authors that's of Pain incredible. Wrote this book. The first poem is called "I Cry When Daddy Calls Me Hawk," and it's just a really emotional journey for them.
Wow.
Yeah, they have another one. It's like, what is it like? Howl by Allen Ginsberg by the authors of Pain. It's just very, you know, it's just like they're the literary geniuses of our generation, you know?
Yeah, well, they wrote Pain.
Yeah, I mean, they wrote Pain. Yeah, they wrote the book Pain.
They wrote Pain.
They're the authors of Pain. Why would the WWE name them that if they didn't write a book called Pain?
Yeah. Yeah, of course.
Yeah. That tracks. We all understand that.
Exactly. And that makes you the publisher of Pain?
Yeah. So, like, I like to think of myself as, like, I mean, like, Paul Ellering published it because, like, you know, what else? He's the guy following him around. They're the authors. You assume that he's their publisher, their editor, right?
Right. That's what I would think. But he's not?
Well, no, like, he did it. I was just, like, you know, like, the equivalent of, like, a development exec with TV. Like, you know, like, we went on a couple of, like, writing workshops. I gave him, like, notes on a couple of things sometimes. Because I'm a pretty experienced poet, guys. You should know that. Like,
it's powerful.
Yeah.
You know, it's like they reached out to, like, Sherman Alexie, me, and whoever the poet laureate of the United States is right now. And they had us, you know, help them just, like, put together just a really heartfelt and honest book that just speaks to the human spirit, you know?
Yeah. Well, I've heard about those guys is that they wrestle their matches, they immediately go in the back and start writing.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Because once they inflict pain, they need to write. There's inspiration immediately.
Oh, yeah. They write like Rezar has like a typewriter and like classic Occam. He's always pacing around and just like pitching out poetry lines.
Right.
And Occam is like, oh, slow down. I gotta type this up on my Underwood typewriter.
I've heard about their dynamic too, that Rezar he's more of the like grammar nerd, you know. He's counting the haiku, being like, it's gotta be seven, you know. And then Occam is the other one, right?
Occam's
kind of like more like artsy, right?
Yeah, he's the anything's poetry guys.
Right.
Whereas Rezar is just like, no, it's got to be like 3-5-3 or whatever it is for haikus. Like,
right.
Yeah.
Right. Now, one thing that inspired me from the book was the last chapter of the book. Could you describe, or maybe I think it might be hard to read, but the last chapter.
Okay, so the last chapter of the book we all know that their finisher is called The Last Chapter.
Right.
And the reason that it's called The Last Chapter is that the last chapter of the book is a picture of them doing their finisher.
Yeah, that's right. The last chapter I saw was a picture of the last chapter.
Yeah, you know, that makes sense, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought that was particularly on the nose in a really inviting and clever, unique way.
Yeah, I think that when the authors of Pain wrote that chapter, they were really on the top of their comedy
game. Yeah. Have you seen the indie tag team, the Authors of Jealousy? Have you seen their work?
Indie wrestling?
Oh, right. You don't know what that is.
It's like fans. Oh, fans again.
It's like fans wrestling.
Yeah,
I've heard like PWG when just like random schmoes like do matches.
Right. No talents.
Yeah, no talents. Yeah, just like jobbers. Just vanilla midgets.
Right.
Like I hear like NJPW, there's a lot of people
You've seen the Authors of Jealousy?
Yeah. I don't think I've seen the Authors of Jealousy.
They never win a match because they can never get along. Because if one's doing well, the other one wants to do well.
One of them's career's always gets the pin.
Yes.
And the other one's like, I wish I got the pin.
Right. And their system is they go for a six count where they both get three.
Most
people are able to kick out by six. It's not really a good system.
But honestly, like, good for them for keeping somebody down for like five. That's like way more than you usually have to.
Yeah, totally. Well, anyway, you can get this book $3.99 for the paperback. That seems like the bargain of it, right? Because then you have it.
Yeah.
And you can check out the last chapter specifically. You want to see that.
Yeah, it's a picture of it. Maybe if you work for WWE and you're looking to sue, maybe don't sue me for using a picture from your website.
Now, I think that what would you call the last chapter as a move? I would call it a touch power bomb.
Yeah,
would you call that a touch power bomb?
Oh no, that's the super collider.
You're thinking of the super collider. Which one's the last chapter?
Last chapter. It's like a Russian leg sweep with a clothesline.
Oh yeah, yeah. Like it's a high low kind of a thing.
Yeah, yeah. It's like it's the least cool move they do.
Yeah.
I do have to say I read most of the poems in this book and I was immediately moved from my crown chakra into my heart chakra.
Right.
You're what?
And I was drawn to tears. So it was very moving emotionally for me.
Newman, this is worse than when you were just an ass.
I'm sorry.
All right. Anyway, let's get into wrestling. You remember, this is a professional wrestling podcast. Check out Joey Cliff's book. I don't know who I'm surrounded by today.
Yeah.
I mean,
Alex helped ghostwrite it. He ghostwrote one of the poems.
Yes, that's true.
You worked with the Authors of Pain in developing the idea.
You did?
Yeah, I did, yeah, yeah.
Which one did you write?
It's called Pain, P-A-I-Y-N-E.
I noticed that there's a lot of poems in there that are pain just spelled, you know, phonetically weird and...
Hey, I mean, you know, I'm not going to question their genius.
I kind of just coached them through. It's kind of like a stream of consciousness poem as I, you know...
Yeah.
Help them connect again, like with the divine within, so they can realize their true identity.
Can you give us a little bit of it?
Sure, I would love to read it. I mean, if Joey can pull it up.
I am pulling this up.
It's a short one, so I think we can get through it.
Poems are generally pretty short.
Yeah,
except for maybe like, is the Odyssey technically a poem?
Yeah,
that whole book.
Yeah, the whole. Yeah.
That's why it was so annoying and hard to read.
There we go.
All right, may I? Cool. All right, so this is Pain.
This is Pain by the Authors of Pain.
By the Authors of Pain, okay. Pain comes in many forms. Pain, 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 pain. Back pain when you bend. Thomas Paine is not your friend. Window pain, can't defend. Pain, air conditioners, keep you cool. T-Pain, hip-hop trend, a traditional fool. Pain is the only god. Pain you feel, break the pain, make it real. Pain in times that try men's souls. T-Pain with rhymes that are cold. Cold, pain, air conditioning, millions sold. Pain, 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 pain.
Wow. I mean...
It was a moving experience.
That was... I didn't expect to feel the way that I do.
It's good that you're... Yeah, so that is you moving from your crown chakra into your heart chakra.
Yeah, I mean, I heard that and then... It felt like everything in my life was, you know, like...
I mean, there's also shall I compare thee to a summer's pain?
Yeah, let's get some of the titles. Get some of the titles. Just see, let's entice people on this. Because, you know, I thought we were going to talk about this for a second, but I'm so moved.
This took much work. This was a month of work, by the way. Okay, so let's see.
So this is what a sold-out bars case looks like.
There's, let's see, let me go to that. There's Authors of Pain, Co-Authors in Life, about how they work together. Oh. There's Virginia Woolf Had a Great Finisher, which I think was pretty good. There's a poem about their vest called My Vest Has Many Pockets. let's see.
You know, Reigns has a similar poem. I've seen him. It's My Vest Has No Pockets.
Yeah, it has no
and
pockets.
And also says My Vest Has No Purpose.
No pockets in a big patch.
Yeah.
Let's see. There's a rewriting of Green Eggs and Ham called Break Legs and Slam. let's see. There's like five poems that are about Paul Ellering.
Yeah. Well, he's their muse, you know?
Yeah, he's their dad. Like they really are inconsistent over the course of the book in describing what their relationship is to Paul Ellering.
Yeah.
Sometimes they say he's their uncle. Sometimes they say he's their dad. Sometimes they say he's their editor. I think he's all of those things.
Yeah, well, okay. I mean, human relationships can be hard to define sometimes.
Okay. Relax. Anyway, let's move it on. All right, everybody, let's get into pro wrestling. Check out that book. All right. A lot to get into. I think the first thing we should discuss is JBL leaving the announce booth. That seems a little suspect to me.
Did they say why he left?
They said he's stepping away to spend more time on his charity. Oh. It just seems, you know, it's hard to fully think that that's why, because of that stuff that happened with Moro, that you're like, ooh, I don't, you know. I don't know. But then at the same time, it makes sense for anyone to get burnt out at any time. Right. So I don't necessarily, I think a lot of people were just like, yep, this is what happened. Like, they were just waiting out until it was laying low until after SummerSlam. And then, like, let's get rid of him because his culture, blah, blah, blah. I think he might have just actually went. I think it was pretty abrupt. But have they ever announced that an announcer was going to leave?
I mean, I think so. I think they've announced, like, they said, like, I don't think that when Jerry Lawler left, it was like an immediate, like, I don't think it was just like, oh, what's Corey Graves doing here? I think there was like a process.
Right, but didn't he have like a heart attack or something? And he like.
And then he came back and still did it.
Right. Well,
And first off, I got to say, JBL, you know, he's leaving to go work on his charities. Really nice guy. He's got to be the nicest guy in wrestling, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, 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 yeah,
yeah. Yeah, he's just like just a good dude all around.
Yeah, I think Moro probably left initially because he was overwhelmed by the positive support that he got from JBL.
Moro, Moro can't handle the big fights. He's not ready for the big time. He got too stressed out.
Well, I mean, he did announce the biggest fight of all time. Arguably.
Yeah, but like that's not. I mean, you know, like. Sure, there's like Conor McGregor versus Floyd Mayweather. But guys, is that Monday Night
they
Raw?
They got 6 million pay-per-view buys.
Yeah, but like...
At $100 a pop.
Yeah, and that's not counting bars.
Side note, that's so much money.
Yeah. Some bars, if you bought it at a bar, it was like $2,000 a pop.
Yeah.
It's $100 just for personal use.
Yeah, but like, you know, anybody can call a match, but can anybody call a Randy Orton match?
That's a good point. Yeah. It's a good point. All right. So, Asuka. I'm going to. Yeah,
wait,
just
who?
For all you jerks out there.
Wait,
say,
who?
Asuka. She's the NXT Women's Champion.
Wait, what?
What's NXT.
What's NXT?
It's where the Authors of Pain wrestle.
What?
They wrestle NXT.
I only know them as authors. They wrestle authors?
wait, what? You don't know, how do you know them then?
I only know them for their literary work.
Wow. Yeah, wow.
It's like how. They...
You are such a mark. It's ridiculous. Yeah.
Like James Atkins from Jimmy Eat World has a career as like a jazz guitarist. So there's some people who only know him as a jazz guitarist, but he is from like another thing.
Yeah, that's how I am with the Authors of Pain.
Right. All right, guys, listen. Shame. That I don't know. I'm not sure what is happening here. But look. Okay, so Asuka, she's all right, just accept that she exists.
Okay,
she's
sure.
She's super good. She's awesome.
Okay.
To me it's clear
I mean she's good, but is she Nia Jax?
She's better than Nia Jax. She's a lot better.
I refuse to believe that somebody related to The Rock is worse than any is better than worse than anybody.
A guy I know who looked a lot like you that I met one time told me that Asuka should be able to beat Braun Strowman. Braun Strowman, you know the guy I'm talking about.
Oh yeah, I know Braun Strowman. Yeah,
that guy.
Yeah,
the guy whose entrance music starts with him screaming
his own name.
Well, yeah. maybe Asuka can learn something from Braun Strowman.
Okay, so this Asuka person, she's a wrestler, a very good one. So she got injured and had to relinquish the NXT title, and they did it on NXT today, covering NXT right up top. So all you jabroniacs out there, give me guff for not covering NXT. Shut up. Anyway, so shut up.
Is this one of those federations where just fans wrestle in the ring? Is Asuka like a fan? Is that her deal?
No. She's really talented.
Did you wrestle Asuka at Burning Man?
I don't believe that I did, but I think that you'll know who she is very soon.
That's my point. Okay. My point is that they gave her a farewell from NXT that's like, when you're healed, you're going up to the main roster.
Right.
Did you get that vibe?
Yes, 100%.
It was like, she's not coming back.
No, and I think it's awesome that she was able to remain undefeated and,
very cool.
and come up that way.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder when they bring her up if they're going to like Bobby Roode her, like start her out slow, because Roode is getting some of the, you know who Bobby Roode is, right?
Oh, yeah, he's that rookie, right? Yeah, he's only been wrestling for like 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah, that's him.
He's that rookie.
He's like a little bit old for a rookie. Yeah. I mean, yeah, his shelf life's not going to be too long.
Yeah. You know what? You might be right about that.
Yeah, I mean, what did he, decide he wanted to start wrestling at like 42 or something? And then
like DDP?
Then like 2 weeks later, he's on SmackDown.
Yes. yes.
Precisely. Yes.
You guys know Jabroni of the show, Arlen Marmel, got into a whole discussion. He's texting me all morning. This guy, all morning about if John Cena got a hair transplant. So Arlen is a bald man, right?
Yeah.
So he's obsessed. He's obsessed with dude's hair.
Yeah.
For I think we all are. We're all into like, you know, when a dude has like ridiculous hair, like amazing wrestler hair, you know, I'm like Ziggler. I'm friends with Ziggler. I see his hair in real life. I'm like, he looks like a human lion.
Yeah.
Like a man lion.
Yeah.
He's got like a million follicles per square
inch. It's ridiculous. There's not even any spot that is showing any, and he's older than me.
Yeah.
There's not even one spot showing any wear and tear. Like, come on, you got to lose a little bit of follicles, right?
Yeah. I just want to send a message out to Arlen that I know that he's, I mean, as a bald man myself, a balding man.
Not on the upper lip.
I know that he's...
Not bald on the upper lip. You are rocking mustache, which you look a little bit like a bald Jake the Snake, which is just redundant. That's a Jake the Snake.
I'll take that.
Jake's always been pretty bald, but yeah.
Yeah, but I know that Arlen is operating from a place of fear, and I hope that he can one day overcome his fundamental dissatisfaction with being a human being that will one day die.
I don't want to kick you out of this bad thing. Listen to this.
You're listening to the Comedian of the Podcast. Yeah, you know what? I mean,
that was a flub by you. Listen to this. Well, remember what you called this podcast?
You're listening to the Comedian of the Podcast.
You called it the Comedians of Podcast.
You see, the Maori people, when they make their art, they incorporate their mistakes into their art. And I feel like that's sort of what I was channeling.
Okay. Anyway, so Arlen was thinking that
I'm so lost on what's happening. Okay, so John Cena's hair, that's where we are.
Yeah, right. John Cena got he got a hair transplant. Check it out. You can't see the bald ring in the back of his head.
Yeah, you can.
I was like, so then I turned, he's like, he's not wearing hats as much anymore. So anyway, Arlen, I watched Raw and I texted Arlen, okay. Arlen, he wasn't wearing a hat because he was wrestling. He didn't cut a promo right away. So he threw the hat into the crowd because he was wrestling. Second of all, this is a very clear shot of his bald ring. And third of all, he's just growing his hair out a little bit and maybe dyed it a little darker for like a part.
Yeah.
Because when he's on set, they're going to top him up. They're gonna dust him. You know what I mean? You're going to get dusted. They dust me when I go on set. Right. You know? They're gonna dust him. But it helps to have more hair. Mm-hmm. You look at Batista. When Batista came back, he at one point, like, he's so bald, it's like very clear, like, the best move for him is just shave your head.
Right.
But he has hair. It's because they tell you, like, it's better to have whatever base you can have to fill it in. Know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that's what's going on with Cena. Everyone who's having the same ridiculous concerns of Arlen, not commenting on the matches, just commenting on the follicles of John Cena. Anyway, all right, so now we got that covered. Cena, Jason Jordan, what do we think?
Wait, so Cena's an actor?
Outside of wrestling, yeah.
Wait, there's an outside of wrestling?
No, yeah, there is. Like, you know the authors of Pain? They're like, write Pain.
Oh, right. Now you're in my wheelhouse. Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, like, one thing you're, if you're, let me explain a rule to you about professional wrestling. If you're a professional wrestler, you're allowed one artistic pursuit outside of wrestling.
Oh, right? Like how Jeff Hardy is a good musician.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
And how, like, The Undertaker
is an undertaker.
He interns bodies. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's the great artistic pursuit.
Exactly.
Yeah,
however one is able to express
themselves. Right. You know, Jake the Snake, he has a snake.
Great. The artistic pursuit of owning a snake.
Yeah, right. Exactly. You know, DDP, he is a yoga instructor.
Namaste.
All right, anyway. All right, stop that. Jason Jordan, John Cena, what do we think?
I thought that this was a really solid match. You know, I think it was like a good... I think it was like a good parental move for Kurt Angle to like really give his son his son that shot, you know? Like, it was just a nice, like, that's how you treat... You know, like, it's like a little bit nepotistic, sure.
I was going to say, you're not bothered at all by the nepotism.
Yeah,
Okay, so, if this was... If this was anything else, yes, I'd be bothered by the nepotism. But they haven't seen each other in like 20 years, bro.
That's true.
Like, yeah. So, like, you got to give Kurt Angle a little bit of. He's trying to rekindle a relationship with his kid in the form of giving him wrestling matches.
True.
Yeah.
They don't hang out outside of the arena, clearly.
Right. And you, okay. So, yeah, I'm not going to ruin this for him. You know, I don't want to do that.
Yeah, I know.
So, Jason Jordan. It's a good idea. Obviously, he should lose to Cena, but like have him look competitive.
Right.
It's a smart move.
But isn't it?
I wonder.
Sorry, John, go ahead.
No, I'm saying, I wonder how much, like, I know everyone hated Super Cena so much. Everyone was giving that crap. It was like, Cena never loses. He's like, you know, because
he's the best wrestler.
Yeah.
That's why he never loses.
Yeah. But like now it's like almost, he's like giving up a little too much for me. You know what I mean? Like,
because he's getting old.
Yeah. But just a little bit. I think it's cool. He's clearly like just had a lot of big matches that they could save, which always makes me think he's going. They're not planning on him being around for a long time. They're getting this stuff out. But I thought the match was cool. I think Jason Jordan's not really getting a lot of heat.
Yeah.
Like I would think, and I think that the whole thing of him being Kurt Angle's son.
They did a test. It's real.
Yeah.
Don't call it a thing.
They did 23.
The whole gimmick of him being his son.
Family is not a gimmick.
I don't see that helping him over time. To me, that is such an extreme like gimmick that I think it's like how like Mark Henry, I'll never forget that one of his kids is a hand. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, it does. I was talking to I'm roommates with Nick Ligger, who was on last
yeah,
week.
Yeah, yeah.
And
you could shoot on him too. Yeah, he didn't have nice things to say about you. You want?
Oh yeah, yeah. So I used to co-host a podcast with Stephen Pearlstein and Nick Ligger called You Should Love Wrestling. I stopped because they kept saying wrestling wasn't real.
Yeah,
I could see where that would be traumatic for you.
Yeah, you know, I mean,
I was around Pearlstein for like. For that one episode, I'll never go near that guy again.
Yeah, I listened
and
to
him. And just shout out, like,
both of
listen,
them,
at least
both
it's
of
not
just,
too late to go.
Both of them.
I really like his fiance. Yeah. It's not too late to leave that guy. I mean, he doesn't like wrestling.
Both of them, nice, hardworking dudes, both good dudes. They just, I don't know, like, we have differing opinions about if wrestling's real or not.
Yeah. I have to say, I listened to that episode, and I had to just take my earphones out every time Pearlstein was talking.
Yeah, he really is, like, so irritating. Yeah. And, like, when you sit to record their podcast with him, you literally sit in there, and his office is, like, the most generic, like, it grosses me out more than your emo tattoos. It's like got on the walls, like, Gene Wilder, Stephen Colbert. It's, like, the safest comedy zone. Like, there's no vulnerability. It's like, I only like the best shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Come on.
I mean, I can relate. Like, I only like the best wrestlers, like John Cena and Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
It's like that.
Get into John Cena and Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns came out, and I thought Roman Reigns did great.
Mm-hmm.
Now, look, I know I'm...
He's the big dog.
No, that was... Okay, so let's bring up that moment. That moment where John Cena's like, yo, you're... And this hits on the fact that, like, John Cena... When you get into a program with John Cena, you will be instantly elevated. That rub makes you better, except if you're Baron Corbin.
Baron Corbin and Damien Sandow.
Yeah. I mean, look, it can be booked bad, but you have to be able to... They have to book you in a way where, well, you know, you have to step up to the plate in a way where that...
You, they booking? I've never heard that word before. Yeah, are you talking about the Authors of Pain book again?
Booking is when you write a book. Booking. Like, yeah, but don't bother me, honey. I'm booking right now.
I mean, that's what the Authors of Pain call it when they're writing.
Okay, moving on. Roman Reigns, John Cena says, hey, your fly's undone.
Yeah.
And then he goes like, yo, because I busted through it. Big dog. That was pretty good.
That's kind of funny.
That was pretty good.
Yeah.
And it was off the cuff, clearly. Now, here's the interesting thing. John Cena came back, right, and just said, oh, I was trying to see if you had any balls, right? And it was pretty fast. Like, yeah. John Cena is so good. And even though it's, like, kind of corny, but then Reigns said a homophobic line.
I missed that. Like, what did he say?
He said, like, it was something like, I was checking to see if you have any balls. You would be looking at my balls.
Yeah, you would be looking for
which,
those.
You know, normally I would think that that's homophobic, but like, you know, Roman Reigns is so great that like, I think he was saying it from a woke perspective. Right, guys?
Yeah. Well, I mean,
right, guys?
You think Reigns is woke?
I think Reigns is a woke. I mean, you know, like I think the big dog, he's a big dog. So like, you know, he's going to be good at everything.
And I think at the very least, he may just be uncomfortable with non-sexual male intimacy, and that is
Newman,
just
I hate you.
A place where he has to kind of show up a little bit more.
Honestly, shame. All right, stop trying to take my show and. Burn it down! All right, okay. All right, so look. Anyway, that changed. I thought.
Can I just press a random button on your soundboard and see what it does?
Yeah. You got to hold it, though.
Should have known better, dude.
See, you should have held it down. You should have known better.
Yeah,
dude.
That was good.
Okay, you want one more?
Yeah, I'll take one more.
All right, hold it down. That's just, you got to listen to the whole song now.
That was definitely, but that's something that like Roman Reigns, favorite wrestler next to Randy Orton, think he's real cool. Everything he does is gold. That aside, yeah, there is definitely like a homophobic slant to him. Like, it's like, I remember when like the internet, like some people were tweeting at him about how they didn't like him, and the Usos just kept on saying like homophobic, kind of like slurs and stuff. Not like slurs, but like,
yeah.
It was definitely leaning toward the like, quit being gay, bro. Like, just like dumb gay panic stuff.
Yeah. Well, they're jocks. So I think it's sort of just in that realm of like, I think you're perpetually in a kind of like a high school.
Yeah. They're like high school football players or whatever. And it's
totally. I think that I try not to fault people for that as much because like, obviously it's not right to say, but I think it comes from a place of like, if you're not living in New York or Los Angeles, like, you actually still think that's, like, funny.
Right.
Even if you're not a person who hates that, you still think it's comedy. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Well, yeah, you understand that you think it's, like, demasculating, which is funny in a situation where you're... Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm not excusing it or anything. I'm just saying, like, there is a problem if we just go, like, that's wrong to say, F you, and we just, like, completely disregard cultural surroundings and we're not sensitive to the fact that, like, hey, like... I'm saying if I had Reigns in a room and I go, you said that, you offended me, you're gross. But if I was like, hey, you know, like, actually, that's like, that wouldn't be, that's not that cool to some people. Right. You know that? Like, right? We need to find that, like, in this divided time, we need something like that. Now, that being said, I don't think Reigns is ever going to talk to me.
I mean, it is a little bit different if it's coming from a place of, like, ignorance as opposed to a place of, like, hatred.
It's exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Is that there's sometimes where we come to the place of, like, somebody literally doesn't even, like, they don't even know that that's not acceptable, especially when they're trying to be funny.
Right.
That's when I'm like, when someone's trying to be funny is where we need to cut them a little slack because they're not everyone is a comedian.
Right.
Which is one of your old points on this show.
What I think, Roman Reigns, if you're listening to this podcast, which like I think he is.
He definitely is. Yeah, he definitely is.
Yeah.
Once I put the vest on.
Yeah, yeah. It's just Roman Reigns, just his ears, his big dog ears perk up. And he's just like, oh, all right, so Roman Reigns, if you're listening to this, we know you're funny. We heard your Suffer and Succotash promo. Just go back to that A material, you know? Like, I think, remember that Jack and the Beanstalk promo you cut? Like, let's just go back to more of that. You don't need to, like, you know, like, I think that's good stuff.
Okay. So, I know what you're saying, but I'm saying, I thought that, like, okay, Reigns' showdown this week, it was more kayfabe-ish, right? Mm. You don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
anyway,
K what?
Yeah. But I think that I like that he came out and was like, hey, it took you 20 minutes to beat a rookie. Yeah. And then CD's like, no, maybe I just am like waiting to pounce here. And like, it makes me think, which way are they going to go? Yeah. Are they going to go the way of like Reigns is going to take him down or like Cena beat him? Like, I think Cena should beat Reigns. I think it would do a lot for his character to lose clean to Cena.
Like, you mean his career?
Yeah.
I think it would do for his career.
His competitive trajectory.
Right.
I think that if he could take a loss to Cena, it would make him go back to the drawing board on his strategy.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah.
Right?
Like, he'll learn, I should do more spears in matches. That's the drawing board. He'll be like, oh, I should Superman punch more.
Yeah.
That's my notice. He doesn't do those two moves enough. They're so powerful. Why doesn't he just always do them?
All right, moving on.
Well, something that stood out.
Okay, hold on. I have to do the reverse. All right.
So something that did stand out to me, though, was that last week when Roman Reigns accused John Cena of burying new talent, then the next week he does
he
exactly
buries
that.
Because he's the best wrestler.
Sure.
That's what I thought Reigns was going to say.
Yeah, me too.
I'm glad. But I thought he was going to come out and just be like, you just beat a young guy.
Yeah, you did exactly what I said you do.
But I think they were trying to pull it back. They were trying to pull back the fourth wall element, you know? See your fourth wall future sound effect on this podcast. I forgot to tell Zig to add to the board today.
See your
fourth wall.
Something I think nobody's talking about is, like, how much of a sociopath Cena sounded like in that promo on Monday, where he was just like, I've been waiting for 10 years for you to mess up to chop you down, bro. And it's just like, it's like, how much of a psychopath that looks
that
like
so
on
funny.
A paper.
If you track that, which, by the way, someone was talking about him being a sociopath. It was Pearlstein last week on this podcast.
Yeah. Oh, I love that guy.
Pearlstein on this podcast was like, he's a sociopath because in the Cricket Wireless commercial.
I agree with him.
I feel like he got bombarded with all that. I was like, come on, man. That's really hard to like.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's interesting. You agree. But you think he's a sociopath?
Well, I mean, in that Cricket Wireless thing, he was definitely like, these kids were like, I was crying. Like watching it, and Cena was just like, "That's incredible that you were able to do that." Like he was so.
Yes. Hello, child.
Well,
that
I
is
mean,
a very good job.
Maybe
it's
not
because you guys have no machismo. I'm looking right now. Your fly's open, uh-huh. And I'm looking for your nuts. I'm not seeing any. You know what I'm saying?
That's because I've been practicing Kunalingi yoga.
Okay, I don't know.
And right, I've been
okay. Moving on. I don't know what that is.
I pull them into my abdomen.
Yeah, I don't. Okay.
Oh, I've heard of this. Yeah.
Anyway, okay. So, all right. Let's just move on. Okay. But Cena Reigns. Everyone's pumped to see that match.
I don't want anybody to lose that match. I think both of them are great.
No, someone might not lose it, right? They might save it, you know. They might keep it. All right, cool. Let's talk about Miz for a sec. So Miz had the Intercontinental title.
The Miz. Now that's an actor.
He pulled the wool over my eyes.
Tell me, John Cena's acting. The Miz is an actor.
And why is the Miz allowed to act?
Because
you can have
one creative pursuit. Yeah,
that's right. Outside of wrestling.
Well, that and I mean, I'm sure the only
John Cena's a rapper. He's not an actor.
Yeah. He's a rapper actor, like a Wahlberg.
I have a feeling
he looks a lot like Wahlberg.
I have a feeling that Joey only watches or is aware of movies that are produced by WWE Studios.
Oh yeah, like why haven't those won Emmys?
Right. So
okay. Yeah. Listen, I think it's so. Viz had a moment in this. Didn't Maurice grab his hand to tell him when Jeff was going to hit with the senton?
Yes.
That's like a next to me. Have you seen anything like that before? That's like a next level. It's such a great, cool way to cheat. Use like your spouse's
love.
Yeah, it's not like I'm gonna spray like perfume in your face. You know right. what I mean? It's like I'm gonna give you like a. It's like a football. It's like cheating in like football where they like steal the other player's signs or right. something.
It's like right. stealing in football where like the quarterback squeezes the receiver's hand when he's about to be tackled.
Exactly. Right.
He's like, oh, there you go.
And it's like it's like kind of funny because it sells it out. It's like she had to know that he wasn't really down. For it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Right? Like, she had to know that, like, he wasn't knocked out enough to take a top rope move.
Right.
You had to be knocked out enough to still.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm. Yeah, no. You right. need to be, you need to have.
She
yeah,
knew, like,
hit,
I can just, if, or she knows, like, if I just grab your hand, it'll wake you up. That's something that she figured out, like, I mean, in the morning when Miz is oversleeping.
Yeah.
She's just like, I grab his hand, and then he's up.
But you know what that is? That's love.
Mm. That is love.
Yeah, yeah. Which, you're a married man. I'm yeah. sure that you and your wife have something like that set
we,
up.
Well, we wake up, we play Maria Kanellis' song. Here's to the greatest.
And then she blows a kiss at you, and you catch it and punch somebody.
Yep, exactly.
Where have they been?
I read that WWE's not into it.
Oh, no.
The thing I read said that they've completely given up on that idea.
Wow.
I thought it was good.
Yeah.
It was. They were good wrestlers. I liked them.
I didn't even see one match of them. Somehow I didn't see any Mike Bennett matches.
It's fun. They had a lot of like really good spots that like the crowd hated.
Isn't he a good wrestler?
Yeah, he's a very good wrestler.
You know him?
Well, from the two. Oh,
do you know who Mike Bennett is?
Oh,
you know who Mike Bennett is?
I mean, he's a good wrestler based on the, you know, he's better than like that. Okay, so like, I've established that like Bobby Roode's a rookie, right? He's like, he's only wrestled two or three matches.
Yeah, you've established
yeah,
that.
Yeah, Mike Bennett, he's also only wrestled, he's wrestled like six matches at this point. So he's got twice the experience of Bobby Roode.
Right.
Okay.
So like, he's twice as good as Bobby Roode.
I think so. Hey, speaking of hair. When did Drew Gulak grow a full head of hair?
He looks good.
Anyone notice that?
Yeah.
That guy had no hair a second ago.
Wait, who?
This guy, Drew Gulak. He's on 205 Live.
Wait.
But that's also on Raw.
Oh, but that's... Oh, you mean that show where those lightweight jobbers wrestle on?
Yeah.
Yes, actually.
That's exactly what that is. So, did you notice...
Drew Gulak, more like who Gulak, right, guys?
Oh, man.
Who? Because I don't know who yeah, come on.
Enzo on 205 Live. How do you guys feel about it?
Oh, finally some star power on that show. finally somebody who can really wrestle. Like, you know, like somebody who can wrestle. I mean, he beat like Cedric Alexander or whatever his name is. Like, oh man, that guy's a good wrestler.
How do you feel? I mean, last week you said that you had some like a hot take.
Well, I don't have a hot take on Enzo. My thing about Enzo is that I think that his performance, like, obviously he's over.
Right.
He's undeniably over. Like, he's a guy who, like, even if he annoys you on TV, when you go live, you're like, oh, his music hits, you're going to have fun.
Right.
Right? Like, I remember when, like, New Age Outlaws, like, I wasn't, like, that into them anymore. But then when I would be at the shows, I'd just be like, oh, you didn't know? You know what I mean? Like, it was really fun to do. Yeah.
I feel like the job that Enzo has in, like, a wrestling show, especially, like, we're all sketch comedians, we all do comedy, right. is, like, he's the perfect guy to send out first on a house show. Because he's going to, like, get the audience really pumped.
Yeah.
Like, you know, he's going to do his thing. The audience is going to
channel. They do that with Ziggler also.
Yeah, like, it's just, like, somebody where, like, oh, the audience is going to love this guy. And he's maybe not the top star.
He gets the show going.
Yeah, totally, totally. He's, like, he's a really good, like, high-energy guy to, like, bring out.
I think a lot of the stuff they're doing with him is pretty smart. Like, all right, 205 Live, that's smart because it's, like, it's still on Raw.
Right.
And it brings some star power to that show. And he's small. The other thing is that, like, he's not a good wrestler. He can't really work almost at all, really.
Yeah.
And
I mean,
he's cheating.
Everybody's
going
to look like a bad wrestler if you're on a team with Big Cass, the best wrestler ever.
He's hurt right now. And so
that was so shocking to
yeah,
you.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
I don't know what to say.
What did you think? He was just hanging out in the back?
I mean, he's a big guy. Maybe he couldn't find a rental car.
That is true. Yeah, so I like that you do think that they use rental cars. All right.
What are they going to do?
Well, they're going to have a jalop.
Yeah.
You know what? If you want to go kayfabe, those guys travel on a jalop.
Yeah.
So. I think Enzo's cheating
to
win.
The Big Show just carries them from arena to arena. That's why he lost to Braun Strowman. He was tired.
Yeah, yeah.
Enzo's cheating to win, which I think is smart.
Yeah.
It's like, and have him just acknowledge it. Try to make him like a face who cheats to win. It's doable. It's like Eddie, right?
Well, yeah, I feel like it sort of acknowledges that, like, maybe he's not as athletically gifted as the other. It's like,
right.
It's like he's, you know,
he's like, I do is what I gotta do.
Yeah, right. I do is what I gotta do.
The thing, my whole thing with Enzo is that his performance is bad.
Mm.
So, it's similar to the critique I gave to Miz, where I was like, when Miz had that, this moment.
So this is what a sold out bars case looks like.
I mean, that he was too excited there. But anyway, Miz is amazing. He just was yelling in that whole promo. He was yelling. He was yelling. And then the problem is that when you want to shoot, you want it to feel genuine and real.
Right.
And that'll normally come from a non-performance place. So you need to toe the line to perform and not perform. Now, that's specific for shooting and pipe bombing. Enzo, he's always revved up. It's always 10. It's always 10. He doesn't rest it at all.
Right.
So it just gets stale immediately. It's all shtick. All shtick. That's it. Every line he's saying is going for a laugh. None of it's genuine. None of it at all. So his character is so two-dimensional.
Hey, character?
His outward persona.
Oh, got
it. How he shows up.
Oh, got it. Yeah, yeah.
But
how he is a real person.
I don't
person.
Think it needs to be two-dimensional. Like, I don't think it... I think it could be a guy who's like... He could be, like, into his family or, like... I mean, I don't know. I think you could inject a little more.
I would love that. I would love to see, like, vignettes of him, like, with his, like, Italian mama, like, cooking and, like...
Well, he, like, alludes to it, but then you're like, oh, this guy's just a caricature, which is okay, but everyone says he is that guy actually backstage. You're like, well, show me, like... I want to see, like, the real version of this guy.
But yeah, I do agree in that, like, I feel like every promo he cuts, it's either, like, a Dusty Rhodes-style Hard Times promo where it's just the most passionate speaking to the audience promo possible. Like, an example would be his, Frank Sinatra promo from, Great Balls of Fire. Or he's like the Road Dogg where it's, like, every line is sort of a punchline.
Right.
And, like, it does, like... I think that he's really good on 205 Live because he just does have, like, a very established... he knows who he is, and it's, like, he is very... Like, the crowd... Like, him calling who Gulak... remember when I said that thing?
I'm going to keep
saying it till it gets left.
Who Gulak.
He called him Captain Underpants.
Shame.
And it's, like, just the Enzo burning the other 205 Live wrestlers made the other 205 wrestlers seem like a bigger deal.
Right.
But if that's all he does, then it does kind of... It's just like one tone. It's
he did
like,
no-sell Matalik. He did go like, this guy, he's Matalik. He called him like Picante Pants.
Yeah, he's just like, Pepper Jack.
Yeah. But he didn't get excited to announce his name.
Yeah.
But he brings a lot of power there. Like, Enzo's... I think he needs to work on the performance, make it a little more three-dimensional. I'm not saying we have to see his family. Maybe that's a little extreme. But there could be, like, Enzo in a bad mood day. Like, just something.
He used to have a family, then Big Cass broke up with him.
That is true. All right, let's get into the main thing. You know what I'm talking about. The Strowman-Big Show cage match.
Loved it.
Yeah, it was great.
It was great. Big Show, a beardless Big Show.
I think he looks so much better without the beard.
He looked better without the beard.
Yeah.
I think he looks... Like, I genuinely think that now without the beard, he looks more like an old man.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
It's like you can see kind of the wrinkles a little bit
more. But he's been, like, dyeing it for a while in a way that was, like, I don't know. I always think he'd look better if he just had, like, some scruff. Like, why does he need, like, a butt? I don't know.
Or maybe a mustache.
No, mustaches are no good. No good.
They're good sometimes.
You're not allowed to have a mustache, especially if you want to be cool.
Rick Rude.
If you want to be centered, you can't have a mustache.
I mean,
he needed that. That was part of his gimmick.
So, like, the Big Show and Braun Strowman both had beards when they wrestled their, like, not the Monday match, but their match before it.
Where they broke the ring?
Yeah. And then the Big Show shaved. Do you think that they had a beard versus beard stipulation they just didn't tell anybody about?
Yeah, I think so. They definitely did. 100%.
A Samson and Delilah match?
Yeah.
I think this match was awesome. I think, like, one thing that was interesting is there's, like, a lot of respect flying around for Big Show after this match. It started from Strowman, his Instagram post, where he's just like, you know, shout out to the big man, blah, blah, blah. And then it felt a lot of, like, it's like, we're clearly winding down on Big Show. And I kind of felt that by him, like, doing those top rope jumps. It was like, ooh, he's like, he's going for it for, like, a reason here.
He's like, I'm not going to need these
hips
after this.
I feel so conflicted about Big Show. I feel conflicted. Like, I hate to, like, be like, yo, I respect, like, he's like, I watched this guy for, like, 20 years and was never into anything he did the whole time.
Right.
Yeah, you know, I just don't want to, like, lie. I just want to be honest. And, like, I watched, like, and every time they celebrate Big Show, we do, it's this same kind of moment where someone explains to me that for a guy that size to move like that, and I'm told that he's, like, super athletic, and I'm just like, yeah, but, like, I don't even care about that. Like, he never had an angle I dug. He never, like, sold anything.
You didn't, didn't like Big Boss Man versus the Big Show?
So that's the most memorable thing he did.
Where the
his dad was in the coffin?
Yeah, where Big Boss Man tied a chain to where the Big Boss Man crashed the Big Show's dad's funeral and, like, used a chain to tie it around the Big Show's dad's casket and stole his dad's
corpse.
Drove
away with his dad's
corpse.
Yeah. And he goes, you're a big nasty bastard. And
he's like, my daddy.
He drove up. They're having a service. He drove up in a station wagon with a bullhorn.
No, he drove up in the Blues Brothers car.
Yeah. No, I loved that. But, like, that's the thing is that... And I won't even knock Big Show. I'll say, like, it might be, I might not be able to understand the athletic feat of being that big and doing the stuff he did, you know? But, like, I think Strowman out the gate is already, like, way more impressive than I thought Big Show ever was. I mean, I'm almost not really insulting Big Show as much as saying, like, testament to, like, how into Strowman I am. And there's a lot of discussion about the big man. Like, Strowman was like, you know, you've done so much for big men, which is like a fading kind of a wrestler.
Right.
As, like, I think he's implying that, like, as wrestlers get smaller and more athletic and that becomes more of what's hip, you lose a lot of these guys who are just about the spectacle of it, you know?
But Strowman is a great example, though, of the next level for, like, a big man wrestler. Like, he's definitely the replacement for guys like Big Show. Where I'm huge. I'm 395 pounds, and I can do a kip up.
Right.
Like, that's insane.
Exactly. And I think, like, it's cool. I like that Strowman is so inspired by him. I think that's really cool. Though, watch out for Strowman. He throws out a lot of respect. I saw him throw out a lot of respect to Roman recently. He's a guy who might overdo
it. I mean, I can relate to him on that. I throw respect to Roman every day.
All right, speaking of respect, let's get to our first cash in of the show. You guys ready?
Oh, I'd love to hear this.
All right, this one is from Mr. Jack Mills. Let's see what this jerk has to say.
Here we are again. Another week gone by and another episode has been dropped on our heads. And you know, every week it gets more and more difficult for me to pull out the old Pepsi can as I watch the memory of what this podcast used to be drift further and further into the past. See, every week I think about ending it all. Every week I think about unsubscribing and simply watching my wrestling in peace.
Hey, are you sponsored by Pepsi?
But then I remember that's exactly what Dan Black wants. See, every week Dan asks for cash-ins. Every week he asks us listeners to submit our opinions with a promise of a chance to make ourselves famous. To hear ourselves on the world-renowned UCB Comedy Network. It's all a lie. And Dan, I know you're listening, but I'm not talking to you. This is a wrecking ball headed directly for the glass house that you're living in. I'm talking to all the members of the COW universe, everyone on the Facebook group, and anyone who has ever downloaded a wrestling podcast. Dan Black is not the man you think he is. Dan Black doesn't care about his listeners. He doesn't care about Terrible Tulo, The Dick Show, or The Fractured One. And Dan Black, sure as shit, doesn't care about you. To Dan, all you are is a statistic, a number, a metric to measure the success of his own vanity. Sure, he'll deny it, wouldn't you? But the next time he asks for cash-ins and doesn't play the one that you worked so hard on, ask yourself why that is. Why would he ignore your opinion and talk to a couple of guys that each have exactly half of a Netflix special? I will no longer stand by and watch the community that the Cowlick built be oppressed by this podcasting megalomaniac. I will do my best to be the voice of the voiceless, but I am only one man. Together, we are stronger than the man in the fake bulletproof vest, and we will not be ignored. Never forget this podcast belongs to you and me. It belongs to the people.
Just let him keep
and it's
going.
Time to take your podcast back. Rise, record, resist.
Wow.
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 I think it's important to note that he wasn't feeling heard. And
he was coming from a place of fear.
He was operating from a place of fear.
Yeah.
That didn't bother you at all? We come in here week in, week out, and some schmo's going to just shoot on us like that? You're not angry at all?
You know, I try to hold space for people to show up emotionally. And I think that it's important
okay.
for
you
us.
You know what? That's okay. Shame. You're not going to defend yourself? That's just shame. All right, listen. You know what?
That guy seemed nice.
No. Let me tell you something, Jerk Mills. Okay? You know what? You are right. You're right about one thing. I do want you to unsubscribe. Unsubscribe to this podcast. I don't need you and your bad attitude. I come in here every week. I don't even have a fucking Patreon. I don't ask anything from you guys. We do this show for you for free. This show is for free, and it's for the listeners. You saying that I don't care? I'm lying. Everyone is a statistic here on this show. That's why I want you guys to have a voice on this show. I could just be my own voice, but I'm like, oh, I would like your opinions to come in here so I can hear everyone out. That's why I do this. Yeah, you're right. No, my listeners mean the world to me. I love wrestling, and I love that there's people who like this show. Statistics? Zig, do I even check the statistics?
Never.
I don't
once.
Even give a crap. Some people are more obsessed with that stuff. I don't care. I come and do this. And it means a lot to me if people like it. People, you know, believe it or not, Jerk Mills, people tell me that they enjoy this podcast, and it means a lot to me. It keeps me going. Some weeks, I don't want to come in here.
It's the only thing he has.
So that is the only thing I have. Some weeks, I don't even want to come in here. Some weeks, I'm like, you know what? I'm tired. I you know what? Like, I don't even know if I have enough time to get through Raw. It's back there. The people look forward to this podcast. There's podcasts I look forward to listening to, and they get me through my week. And the fact that I can be part of that means a shit ton to me. So to even accuse me as a guy who doesn't care about his listeners, well, frankly, you don't know me. You don't. You don't know me. And you know what? I don't know who you are. You're just some guy. Coming here, you're talking about the Pepsi can. You get on here with your inside jokes. I don't know what the fuck you're talking about, idiot. So you listen to me. If anyone listening to this podcast thinks that I do this to jerk off my own ego, well, let me tell you this. Then think that. I don't care. Because if there's one thing that I've learned from doing this podcast is that wrestling is the shit. And I love talking about wrestling. I love watching wrestling. And that's it. It's as simple as that.
Thank you for that, Dan.
Have you thought about writing a poetry book?
No. That wasn't that profound. Do you think I do this? Do you think I do this to rub my own ego? I mean, I could do improv on a stage for a sold-out crowd, and I could get instant gratification. I could move back to New York where people fucking respect me. I could play Ass Cat every fucking week, but no. Obviously there's going to be some element of anyone who performs that is about like, oh, I have something to say, and you, I don't know, am I appeasing him too much? I'm appeasing him too much.
I think we could talk about this a little bit more. I want to hear 5 more minutes on this.
Obviously,
guy.
There's some, but that's what wrestlers do, and I ogle the fuck out of them.
Right.
Right? Like, I'm all about celebrating yourself. As a matter of fact, Mills, you're just going into business for yourself here. You wish you were me. That's what this is. Mills, look in the mirror. Get yourself, like, get yourself a prosthetic Jew nose like me. Okay? I can say that I am.
Sure. Okay.
Look in the mirror. Look like a mediocre guy. Work out a lot, but have a very almost no semblance of shape from it. And you can be me, dude.
You thought of doing yoga?
No.
No, you should do yoga. That's good for definition.
One thing he said is about we didn't play some cash-ins.
Yeah.
Sometimes we have guests on the show. We don't have time for it. I try to tell Zig to make sure to post it if we don't get to all of them. We're working on more of a system so that we can integrate them more into the show. It's a lot to do, especially on a free show where I don't even ask for your money.
It is also a lot to expect from a podcast to indulge the listeners.
Yeah.
And have their voice be heard. I mean, it's amazing.
They're the listeners. We're not the listeners.
Right. We offer that, and no other podcast offers that.
Right.
And so he feels...
Zig.
Yes.
Also, 2 months ago, we didn't even have this cash-in system. And already...
How quickly that we owe him something.
Right. Yeah. I'm just saying. I appreciate them calling in, but 2 months ago, this wasn't even a thing.
Yeah. It was something we worked in.
Yeah. Fear is a powerful thing.
Something I think that would really help this show and really help you out, Dan... Maybe we should plan this. We should get all the people who've done cash-ins and put them in a room. Maybe sponsor it by Cricket Wireless. Have Dan show up. Maybe he thinks it's for a photo shoot or whatever. And all the cash-in people surprise him and talk about how the cash-ins affected their life.
You know what?
And Dan can respond with oh, thanks. Thanks, child.
You know what? I got a better idea. Let's just stop doing the show. Hey. Maybe I'll just stop doing it. If I'm such an egomaniac, and if you guys don't want this show, that's fine. You know what I mean? Maybe I'll stop doing it.
I mean, I guess I could find something else to do on a Wednesday night.
Yeah, right. You know what? We're gonna start. We're gonna think about it. Maybe we'll just stop doing the show.
I really want the.
That's fine. You want to stop doing the show?
If you're actually gonna stop doing the show, after the episode is done, just put in 3 gunshot sound effects.
All right. Anyway, moving on from that, Jabroni. Did I properly address that?
Yeah, sure. I feel.
I was not prepared for that. No, to be honest. Yeah. I maybe should have been more calculated. Maybe there's some things I said in there that I regret.
No, it was great. It was great to see you open up and show up emotionally.
No, okay, all right. Stop it.
I think he was operating from a place of fear.
We all do.
Yeah,
we all do.
All right, so
the poet Rumi says that
oh my God,
there's a voice inside of all of us, and it cries out to be heard.
Time to talk about SmackDown.
Wait, whose entrance music is this? I don't recognize this song.
Oh, it's time. Everybody knows it's time to talk about SmackDown. Smack it down.
Keep going.
Smack it down.
Do the
smack
whole song.
Down, yeah. Smack down. Smack down.
Smack down.
Let me get this part. Used to be on Thursdays, then moved to Fridays. It went back to Thursdays, and then
it's Tuesdays.
It was recorded on Tuesday. You know what it is.
I'm gonna keep going.
All right, that's enough. Wow.
How much longer could we have gone?
That's committing to a bit.
Wow. I
still think that
I just needed a break from Mills getting me so worked up. I was saying things that
if you want to call us and leave a cow cash in that you liked that and want us to do more of it, that's the thing that could be done every episode.
No. Okay. All right.
Instead of glorious, it's just SmackDown. Smack, smack, smack down. Smack, smack, smack.
That's exactly how it would go. All right, so, yo, Kevin Owens, incredible work this week. Okay, with the Kevin Owens, Shane McMahon stuff, what do we think?
Yeah, I watched that. I was cooking dinner before I came here, and I had it on the TV, and like my girlfriend was trying to work, and I was just reacting like every time Kevin Owens, when he said that he shouldn't have survived that helicopter wreck, I was out loud, just like, oh my god,
yeah, it was far, Hey. You know, it reminded me of when like Paige talked about Charlotte's brother.
Oh yeah,
but like that one made me uncomfortable.
Yeah,
this one was like, all right, he no one got hurt. Right. But he did get into actually a helicopter crash. It's so like, do it.
But like, on the other hand, you can't just attack your talent like that. He deserves that suspension.
Yeah. But also,
Daniel Bryan,
like,
made the right call, I think.
The thing is that, like, why SmackDown is always is a better show for me is because, like, they do such a great job of, like, having, like, storylines running through the show.
Made storylines?
You know, things happen. More things.
Okay, now I understand.
More outside of the ring things happen. You notice that? There's more policy.
Oh yeah,
goings on.
And that's like, you know, that's one of my favorite parts about wrestling is like just hearing about policy and hearing about just like you know,
bureaucracy.
I'm talking about like nothing that Angle does has hit. Like Angle's very like, here's the thing, you know, like here's the match I'm gonna set up, and then that's it. Where there's actually like more of a semblance of like structure at SmackDown, you know? It's like Daniel Bryan and Shane are in charge. And
If there's one thing that I think that all sports should try to take from professional wrestling, outside of, like, entrance music and stuff like that, is I want to see more backstage segments in sporting events.
Yeah.
Like, I want, like, LeBron James to, like, I want, like, during halftime for, like, a Cavs game for LeBron James to, like, he's on camera and he's just like, I just don't know if I could sink another free throw. And the coach is like, yeah, you better, or blah, 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 blah. And then he sinks a free throw in the third quarter, and you're like, oh, shit.
I would like that.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
I might watch
I would watch
other
way
sports.
More sports if that was the, if they just had backstage segments.
So, yeah, I just thought like that played out. Like Kevin Owens, I can't understate how great he is. Like, he's such a natural, like, bad guy. Mm-hmm. He makes it look so easy that, like, he must be a jerk in real life. There's no way. It comes too
real
easy.
Real life?
He must be a jerk.
Okay, there we go.
He must just be a jerk. Because it comes so natural to him. But I love that, like, he pushed Shane so far. And then I am a sucker for the routine of, like, you wronged me, even though you're such a guy who deserved it.
Yeah.
The guy's like, you punched me. That's too far because you actually got violent. But, like, you provoked them to a place where you deserve to get punched. I'm just a sucker for that bully shit.
Yeah, yeah.
The meek bully.
And I loved the, like, I'm going to sue SmackDown.
Yeah, I love it. And then, like, I mean, just the way they played out where at the end of the episode, it's like, no, Vince is coming next week.
Right, yeah.
It's like, it entices you. Raw just never does that.
When, like, something that's so simple and so effective, like, I feel like it's, like, WWE is getting a lot better about this lately, but, like, just announcing matches beforehand. Tell me why to watch the show.
Right.
Like, other than to see, you know, my hero, Randy Orton. But, right. Like...
Well, next week, you know, it's like, I already know SmackDown is in Vegas.
Yeah.
I know that, like, there's, like, three title shots.
Yeah.
Vince is going to be there. Like, I'm going to be, like, excited going to that episode. I feel like I rarely think that on Raw. The only thing I ever know ahead of time on Raw is that Brock's going to be there or not.
Right.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good point. It's like, yeah, like, there's never... They very rarely give you, like, a reason to watch other than it's Monday Night Raw.
Right.
Well, like, yeah, but it's like, yeah, Brock's going to show up is what you hear. Like, I feel like the cage match between Braun Strowman and Big Show was announced, like, a couple of days beforehand. But, like, you know, like, SmackDown.
I didn't hear, though. I don't know why I
think
I
it was
that.
Just. I think it was just, like, on WWE.com or something like that. But SmackDown is so good at, like, on... Yesterday's SmackDown, they said, here's what we're going to see on next week's SmackDown.
Yeah, they plug next week. There's more, like, forethought, which is the thing that I want from wrestling
the most.
And,
like, last week on SmackDown, they were like, Nakamura and Orton, you're going to see this week. Like,
right.
You know.
I love that. I know. And, like, I don't think they should shy away from it because even if it doesn't happen, you just go like, hey, he's hurt or something. Or, like, just be like, oh, we had a scheduling change. Like,
he
they do it in
scared
real.
Because Randy Orton's really scary.
Yeah. I thought that I think that played out really well. Daniel Bryan, I thought, like, killed. That was like the best acting I saw him do. I think.
Yeah, acting.
Oh, the best.
He showed up. He showed up.
Well, he's not a camera. The best. The best job I thought he did.
Yeah.
God, you're exhausting.
No, I
What'd you
feel
guys
like
think of the Ziggler segment?
You know, I didn't actually get to that. I was
the Ziggler segment.
Yeah.
I mean, it's good. He's tired of like wrestlers having too much polish on their presentation, and he wants to like go back to basics. And I thought that like he really nailed it, where it's like, you do all of this stuff that impresses you that anybody could do. I'm the only guy that could like wow you in the ring.
Right. Yeah.
And like he does have an amateur wrestling background and stuff like that. So it's like it's sort of just back to basics of like, oh no, I'm very good at my job.
Yeah. My one thing with this was like, I would have liked this if he did a squash match first and then did it. Like I would think it would have been cool, or like if he like super kicked, like you know, he wrestled someone, gave him a super kick, and then pinned him, and was and then like got like no response, and then it was like in response to that.
Yeah, he comes out to like no entrance music.
This was like kind of like 3 weeks in the making. Was the only thing that like they didn't give him any in ring time. Yeah. I think you want to show how good he is in the ring, just to remind people that
when he's basically like he's done all tell no show. He's done all telling you about what he's going to do, but very little.
Well, we
showing.
Know he can show it. Just let him show it.
Yeah, and I agree. Like, you know, put him in the ring with, like, I don't know, like some jobber like Nakamura or whatever, and just have him super kick him right out of WWE. And
okay, all right, Nakamura title shot against Jinder Mahal, who I constantly forget is the champion because they. He doesn't get much airtime, but I love that he's always in the skybox. I love he has his own skybox.
Yeah.
I think that's cool.
He's the modern day Maharaja. He's got a lot of money.
Exactly. Yeah, but they don't acknowledge they don't acknowledge his financial status.
At this point.
They're just like, you have the belt, you're rich.
Yeah. He wears nice suits. He can afford two guys to follow him around.
Right.
I love that the Singh brothers are on his payroll. Like, I never thought about that.
Yeah, why is he wrestling?
WWE's not paying him.
Right. Yeah, it's like Kevin Owens was the Universal Champion. He still, like, had Cheetos on his shirt. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, but that's the Universal Champion. You make, like... Yeah. That's like, you know, you make like middle class money for that.
Right. Yeah, I love that.
And he's like, he's the U.S. champion, and I'm going to break it to you. The U.S. isn't doing so well right now.
Mm. Yeah, that's, that's just undeniable, even if you want to think of it just in terms of weather.
Yeah.
So Shinsuke has the title shot. I mean, that first match I didn't like that much, so I'm not excited for this. I'm like, maybe the only hope for that match is if they turn it into a triple threat with the three of them. I think that's something I might want to watch more than another Nakamura Jinder match. Unless, like, let Jinder just beat him clean. I think, like, I don't know. I mean, Jinder needs a clean win if they're going to keep having him the belt. I keep saying it every week. He's massive. A guy that big can win matches, and other guys who are good will recover.
Right.
Well, that's why I could see them kind of giving him the opportunities that they've given him, is he looks scary.
He looks so scary. So why can't it like be like, I trained this hard, I got this jacked, and now I'm super good? Like, I think that's really cool.
Yeah.
Yes. Since, like, you can't respond to that because it might... Anyway.
Might ruin my worldview. And like, you know, to go back to a point that you were saying... You said that, like, every wrestler can have an artistic pursuit, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Nakamura is the artist, so, yeah, I guess you're right there. His artistic pursuit is that he's an artist.
Right. I hate they call him the artist so much.
That's the one thing I love about
him. I actually wasn't critical of it. Like, something happened this week when they said it. I was like, I don't know. But I also don't know what they're going to – I don't know what they're going to do with him, because he got, like, not a lot of pop this week.
Yeah.
He came out – it felt pretty silent to me. Did you feel that or no?
I mean, I think that, like, you know, I think that anybody's going to be silent if, like, they're standing, if, like, the audience is going to be silent to any wrestler who's standing across the ring from Randy Orton, you know?
Okay. But did you hear his music hit and it didn't feel that?
Like, the audience didn't sing along.
Well, I was watching it on my phone with headphones, which actually you can hear it better that way because it's in, like, a silent room. But normally, that's not how I watch, so I was like, oh, maybe it's the audio, but, like, it felt, like, dead for Shinsuke. I think that's going to happen more and more if they just keep him as, like, he's a guy you're supposed to like.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I said this, like, a couple months ago, but, like, I don't know, it was when I I begrudgingly took over this podcast, I had mentioned
you were operating from a place of fear.
You want to apologize for that?
I was operating. Well, I appreciate you.
Should have known better, dude.
I should have known better, you know. But life is about mistakes and learning from them, and and right now. And right now, Shinsuke Nakamura's gimmick is that he is a wrestler who is over. And it's not much more past
that. You said that.
Yeah, his gimmick is that he's popular. The way that he carries himself is that he's popular.
Right.
You can't do the thing where you're just like, he's good, he's good, he's good, he's good. It works for a long time. It's like, there's got to be a little more meat on the bones. Like, he's not cut a good promo. And he probably needs a valet or something. It's just the reality.
And, like, I get it. Shinsuke Nakamura, he's been wrestling for what? 3-4 months? Don't be so cocky.
Tops.
Okay, you really need. We got to talk after the show. We got to broaden your worldviews. Anyway, we got to get out of here. We're getting literally kicked, booted out of the studio by Zig. We got one more. Just because we got another cash in that if I don't play it, then I'm going to fall to Jerk Mills, who put himself over and it worked. I got too worked up.
Yeah.
I got worked by Mills. Worked. I got worked by this guy. And I want to just tell everyone that, like, thank you for listening to this show. I mean, I hope that you don't feel like a statistic. I mean, some of you guys message me on Facebook. I try to respond. I think that I'm pretty accessible in a way that I see this as a community, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Zig, how do you feel? Do you feel like this is communal? Or you feel
for sure. Yeah, I get hit up all the time. I don't even watch wrestling. So, like,
yeah,
like the people reach out to me. Like, it's the show where of all the shows that I produce, it's the one where it actually feels like a community.
That's right. The wrestlers into the void. Just people just speaking to themselves. This is where you have a voice. How many other wrestling podcasts do you have a voice on? I listen to a bunch of them. None of them. The answer is none of them. There's none of them where your voice is on the show. And you know what I mean? Anyway. This is exhausting, you know? It's exhausting. Anyway, I'm going to play another cash in just so I don't get any crap for it. This is your boy, Nick Tula.
9:48. Eastern Standard Time. Terrible fucking Tula. Watching Bray Wyatt do the same fucking shit week after week. Spew some stupid ass goth evil devil demon fucking shit. I'm just done. Get him out of here. There's no room for Bray Wyatt anymore. There isn't. It's simple. It's an easy solution. Just go to Japan where people can't understand what you're saying and it's kind of cool because your gear kind of matches what a Japanese fat dude would wear on the streets of Tokyo, and just do weird things because right now it doesn't even fucking work. And part about all of it is that Finn Balor is stuck because he's the only relatable person because he turns into a fucking demon when Vince decides for him to turn into a demon, works appropriately. 1 minute. Rise, reclaim, resist. Fuck Dan Black. Fuck Zig.
Whoa.
And especially, fuck Alex Newman. Terrible.
Wow,
dodged
a bullet there.
Jesus Christ.
You know, I mean,
I played this.
I fucking downloaded this.
I have one word. It starts with an F, ends with an R.
It's a fear-based lifestyle.
It's fear-based, man. Nick, let go of that fear.
I mean, I feel like a bad guy. I'm walking out of here like, I got a fuck Dan Black. What do I do wrong?
I just noticed that they both have the same ending, the both sign-off.
Yeah, I noticed this on the Comedians of Wrestling Facebook page. Join our Facebook page so you could be another statistic. They're saying something about record. First off, I mean, I think it's rise, record, resist.
Yeah.
But Tula couldn't even say it right. I mean, this is the guy who, like, 3 weeks ago was cashing in about the power of positivity.
Yeah.
The most negative thing I ever heard.
Nick Tula, you sound like a sane guy. You sound like a sane, good dude. Didn't sound drunk there. Did not sound like your life is falling apart.
I love that you first. I was like, 9:38 Saturday. Like, that's a requirement.
Yeah, like a captain's log.
I mean, dude, Tulo. I mean, I'm sorry if I ever wronged you, man.
Yeah, there. There are a number of agencies you can reach out to if you're feeling
one of them's
impressed.
The nation. One of them's the Nation of Marcination.
Okay, all right. Look, anyway, you guys wonder why I don't play your cash-ins. I mean, Christ, Lucas Brothers come in 2 weeks later. We're still talking about how short their Netflix special is.
Yeah,
I mean, they got a Netflix special, guys. Yeah. Let's show some respect.
It's accomplishments.
Hey, how short is the Netflix special?
I don't know.
It's half an hour, I think.
That's pretty
short. I think it's like...
Or an hour, maybe.
Oh, you're aware of Netflix specials?
I mean... Okay, so a few WWE films were on them, so, like, I've dabbled.
Okay. All right. Anyway, guys, hey, listen, thanks for listening to the show. I'm sorry if you guys hate me. I don't know what happened here. I mean, God. Hey. How about next week, somebody who likes the show cash in? That'd be nice.
I want to hear a cash in from like, I don't know, Aaron Finnerty, somebody who, like...
Right. She does a lot of promos for us. Like, she does a lot of work every week.
And never cashes in.
She's great. She's great. And remember, cash in on the show. Look, I'm not going to censor you. You got to say what you got to say. But, hey, I encourage more positive voices to be heard if you have a positive voice. You can cash in. Remember, the number, leave a voicemail on 316-530-2429. That's 316-530-2429. Hey, everybody, thanks for listening to the show.
Not so easy, is it?
And if you want to do a cash-in that's just podcast. You singing the Nakamura theme SmackDown parody that we did, they'll play it.
Yeah, if you want to sing your intros to Raw and SmackDown over a song, you know, we're open to it. Hey, keep watching wrestling. Kisses.
This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.